Welcome to Marketing Insights Live, and I have something really special for you today. Tell me, did you go into business so you can have a flexible lifestyle and then you find yourself working even longer hours than when you had a full-time job? Or is your business sucking the life out of you because you're just working so much that you don't have enough time or energy left to enjoy your loved ones or to enjoy your hobbies? If that is you, then stay with me for the next few minutes because I am going to introduce you to a very special person who will help you to simplify your life, your business, and your life. Before I move on to that, just some housekeeping things to keep in mind. Okay, guys, first of all, turn on your audio. There is an icon in the corner of this video. Click on that so that you can hear me and my guest loud and clear and get the best experience out of this presentation. And then get a paper and pen because this is going to be good stuff, guys. You are going to want to take notes. What else? Share this video if you know anybody else who's overwhelmed, overworked, and just working too hard, then do tell them about this video. Again, somewhere at the bottom of this video, you will find a share link. So click on that and just take, you know, 1 minute or just a few seconds to tell your friends and family about this broadcast. And finally, at any point throughout this video, type your questions in the comments. I will get to them at the end of the interview. And even if you're watching the recording, go ahead and type your questions because I always go back and check for newer comments and I always respond. Okay? So with that out of the way, if this is your first time encountering me, let me just quickly introduce myself. My name is Lexi Rodrigo. I am a digital content manager, a blog editor, and as you can see, I am a lifelong learner. I love to read. I just love to learn all the time, and I love to share what I learn, and that's why I started this show. Let me quickly say something about my guest today. Her name is Elizabeth Pampalone. She is the founder of the Simplified Academy. She's a multi-awarded entrepreneur. She has built not one, not two, but several businesses and even sold one of them. So I think if anybody knows how to get things done and done well, I think Elizabeth is that person. So let me bring Elizabeth to the screen so that she can tell you more about herself. Elizabeth, welcome.
Hello, how are you? I'm so glad to be here.
Good, good. And I am so happy to have you. So, Elizabeth, tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am a 17-year freelance entrepreneur. So I started 17 years ago as a freelancer and kind of grew into an entrepreneur and have built several businesses, and I just love it. I love building businesses and also just watching other people succeed. That's one of my favorite things to do.
So tell us a little about your journey. How did you get to where you are now? And exactly how many businesses have you built anyway?
For myself, I'm on number 7, and I will tell you not all of them have succeeded. So 17 years ago, I started in website design, and it was my passion. I loved it. I read every book in our library about website design and programming and all that stuff, and I decided to make it my career. My parents thought I was a little crazy because they didn't know anything about the industry, and they were a little afraid I might not be able to make any money. So I kind of set their minds at ease once I started my first company, and from there, I would start a company based on a need that I saw. And when I first started doing that, it wasn't always exactly the right thing because I thought, oh, people need this. I will make it, you know. And so it really taught me a lot about marketing and about how to build a business, how to grow a business from nothing into something that you can sustain and live off of. So it was very, very much a difficult journey in some ways, but also very rewarding and very entertaining at times.
Funny that you should call it entertaining. So, and that shows us like your attitude in life, right? If you can find entertainment even in something as difficult as building a business and even seeing some of them fail. So when I invited you to this interview, I asked you to share with us your top 5 tips for simplifying our businesses and our lives. Are you ready to share those tips with us now?
I am, and I have some notes, so I'm going to just glance at them every now and again.
Go ahead.
The first one is actually my favorite, and I try to tell every single person I meet this, and that is to value your time. This includes quoting what you're worth, and when you don't quote what you're worth or you don't give people a sense of how much that you expect to be paid for a job or a service or whatever it is that you're selling, then you actually devalue your industry by taking on jobs that you're getting much less than you should be. And so you not only devalue yourself, you devalue the industry, and then you devalue the product or service that you're trying to sell. So I try to tell people, you are worth it, and you need to make sure that you tell everyone else exactly what that worth is. And everything should be based on value, not necessarily, well, I worked an hour and I want to be paid $20 for that hour and that's what I should be paid, but it should be based on the value of the service, the value of the product that you're providing. So it's very difficult to get there, but there are a lot of great resources on that, and there's also a different value for every person, even if they're doing the same job. So it's an interesting question to ponder and something to really think about as a business owner. The value of your time.
That is so true. And I think the majority of freelancers tend to undervalue their time, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I find that all the time. And it's something that you have to really work on. It's something you build up to. And I've been in business for a long time. And in the last 2 years, out of 11 as an official business, out of the last 2 years are really the ones that I've came into a place where I thought, I'm getting paid what I would like to be paid for the job that I'm doing, and I feel good about that. And so it's very difficult, like I said, but it takes time to get there. But once you do get there, it's all worth the whole journey, the whole road, it's all worth it. So,
is there like a formula for figuring out how much you should charge?
Unfortunately, I haven't found a one that fits all sizes, that one size fits all formula. I'm big on formulas. That's my whole life pretty much is formulas. But unfortunately in this, it's something that each individual has to decide and really figure out. And I really recommend a business coaching in this case, because someone like me can come along. I've been there, done that, gone through all of it. And I can come alongside someone who's new or who's trying to figure this out and help them see their own value, but also put an actual price tag on it for them so that they can see where a third person or a third party is seeing it from the outside. So it's definitely something I would say hire a pro to kind of help you with this, because it's something that you not necessarily can do on your own, and I had to do that as well. I had to kind of get my business coaches and figure out with them where I should be and then move from there. So it was really helpful.
Now, I know you provide coaching services, correct?
Yes.
What do you tell your clients, your coaching clients, about charging by the hour versus by project?
Depends on where you are in your cycle of your business. If you're early, just starting out, you need the hourly to not only sustain you, but you also need it to learn. You need to be in the trenches, kind of paying your dues at that point. When you get to a certain level is when you really need to switch to value-based pricing. And not everyone can do that right away. Not everyone can do it at the same point. I mean, maybe this person switches at 5 years and that person switches at 3 years. It just depends on where you are in the journey. So that's where a business coach really does come in, to kind of guide you on some of those things. Because like I said, you do need to get that on-the-job experience, and that's where the hourly comes in. But then when you actually get to a certain level, you have to make the switch. And sometimes that's hard for entrepreneurs because they feel comfortable with the hourly. They know they're going to get paid for that hour, and they know they're going to be, you know, compensated. It's kind of like the hourly worker versus the salary worker. And so you kind of have to give yourself a salary from that client. You know, I get paid X amount of dollars no matter if it takes me 10 hours or 40 hours. So really getting to that point is something you have to build to.
Are you ready with tip number two?
I am. And that would be to eliminate unnecessary tasks. Again, I'm going to say this probably a lot, hire a pro. So there's a lot of stuff that you probably are wasting your time with that you could hire someone to do for you. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that person's going to be cheaper than you are. Maybe your hourly is $20 an hour and you can hire somebody to do it for $10. Maybe your hourly is $20 an hour and it's going to take you 10 hours. That's $200. But maybe you could pay someone $150 or, you know, $300 to do it in an hour. You didn't spend that 10 hours doing it now. Someone has given it to you, done. So that's what I'm saying, hiring the right pro for that job and figuring out what you're wasting your time on. Maybe you're spending 10 hours on something that a pro could spend an hour on and it could be done and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Or maybe it's something that a menial task that you know you have to do every single day and it just gets to the point where you're like, you know what? It's time for someone else to do this task for me, and I will gladly pay because I know that it's within my operating budget to do that. So those are two kind of different directions to go with it, but to know which tasks are unnecessary that you specifically do yourself.
Now, you mentioned operating budget, which is good because the most common reaction that I hear from people is, you know, when you suggest doing something like this, outsourcing, is they say, well, I can't afford it yet. So how do you respond to that?
Absolutely. I hear this all the time as well. So I'm on that same same boat with you. I hear that too. And there does come a point when, yes, you have to do it yourself, but it becomes almost cost prohibitive to you for you to do it, then you can start looking for that person to help you with it. So, for example, if you're doing social media posting and you know that you have to be on, and now there's a lot of automated systems for that, but maybe you're making the graphics or something like that, you can find someone, a VA, someone to help you with that who is within that budget. So if you think to yourself, it's going to take me 10 hours to do this and I charge $20 an hour, but my VA is going to charge me $15 an hour, but it's only going to take them 3 hours, is that cost effective for you? And so you have to run the numbers, and you have to know your numbers. A lot of people don't know their numbers, so when they say, I can't afford it, it's because they don't know that they can. And so really going back to that drawing board and saying, how much am I making? How much am I worth? What am I charging? Wait, am I charging what I'm worth? So we go back to that one. And then looking at your budget and saying, if I could spend $45 and still make $200, and then and I'm getting $200 from my client, but it's only taking 3 hours and I'm still getting the $200, I'm still making money. It's called profitability. And you're making yourself profitable. You're not thinking that, oh, I'm spending this money and I'm losing money. No, you're being profitable. So those are the kinds of things you have to kind of figure out for your business specifically. And there's no real formula. It really comes down to what do the numbers say? What are you bringing in and what can go out without you losing money?
Absolutely. Have you heard of the Zone of Genius?
I have heard of that. I haven't. Is it a book? I don't know if I've read that.
It's a concept. Now, I can't remember, okay, like right now where it came from. But so your zone of genius is that work that you do that brings in like a lot of like the most money, the most ROI, I would say. Like, and there's other zones. I can't remember right now. Like a zone of waste is when you're doing work that has very little, that brings you very little return, like, for example, like the social media posting that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Whereas your zone of genius would be, like, let's say, if I were to work on a client project, and let's say that brings me $100 per hour, compared with if I was to spend that hour doing social media posts. So you can compare. And I think that's the other way to think about it, is that how mm-hmm. much of your time are you spending in your zone of genius?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
exactly.
Yeah, if you're like the 10 hours doing direct client, billable client work versus doing social media stuff, like, you know, and I think when you think about it that way, then it's easier to come to the conclusion that, yes, I do need to hand this off to somebody else. And also I think...
And that you can afford it.
Yeah.
And that you can afford it.
You cannot afford not to do it.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some people, there's also a lack of awareness. So it might actually be a good thing to, you know, maybe like for a week or 5 days or whatever, to track what you're doing with your time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's very eye-opening.
Yes, because I did that exercise for, I think, 10 days. And yeah, that's when I realized that whereas I thought I did not have time or energy to be doing more, you know, like the zone of genius stuff, I realized that, oh, actually, I've been spending my time wrong, like spending my time mm-hmm. on the wrong things. So, yeah.
I actually did the same experiment. I did it for 30 days, and I decided the first month was not correct data. I thought it was incorrect. I thought it was insane the way it came out. So I did it for another 30 days just to see. And it turns out that I was actually spending 40 hours a month, and it happened both months, so it was not a fluke. I was spending 40 hours a month, which is a full entire week of, you know, 8-hour days work, on free meetings that brought no, there had no ROI attached whatsoever.
Oh.
I'm just meeting with people. And people would say, oh, I want to pick your brain. I want to do this. And it was just insane. But tracking the time and then going back and saying, what did I get out of this meeting? Was it a connection? Was it, even if it wasn't monetary, you know, what did I get out of that meeting? And for 40 hours of those meetings to be, for an entire month to be worth zero to me, but maybe worth so much to that person, I decided to completely eliminate it. And I said, I have 2 hours on Fridays. These are the times. You pick a slot. You get 15 minutes. It's your 15 minutes, and that's it. And I had those first 15 minutes, the first couple that I did, I actually sold services to people that would never have purchased before because they felt the urgency. And so it was really an interesting experiment to go through, from having 40 hours of my time a month just wasted to the first 30 minutes of that month just selling something that I didn't think I would sell in 15 minutes. So definitely time tracking and is so eye-opening. And doing it for 10 days, for a week, for a couple months, whatever you need to do to get yourself like, okay, I need to change things, it's definitely worth tracking the time and figuring out where it's going.
Yeah, in my case, I discovered that I was multitasking so much that it was taking me longer than it should have to finish certain things. So now I went back to doing the Pomodoro technique, where I'm focusing for a specific amount of time and I'm just zipping through my to-do list and freeing
yes.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to free up time to actually accept another client. So eliminate unnecessary tasks. And by the way, I love the solution that you came up with, because you did not stop offering like your free meetings, right? It's just that you set mm-hmm. certain boundaries so that it wouldn't blow up yeah. to 40 hours a month.
That's exactly, terrific. Exactly. So my third tip, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a little bit what we talked about already.
Yeah.
And some people might get mad at me, but that's okay. Social media is not marketing. And what I mean by this is a lot of people will tell you that social media is the way everything is going and this is the only thing that matters, when there is still, and I'm going to read this list because I wrote out a long list of things, there is still in-person events, networking, workshops, live video, recorded video or YouTube video, landing pages, websites, print, swag, of course you need swag, customer experience, and email marketing. Those are all parts of marketing. Every single thing I just read off.
Absolutely.
And people put so much emphasis on social media, and I think a lot of business owners get so overwhelmed and they just, their head just spins because they cannot handle the onslaught of what they need to learn next, what new algorithm is coming down the pipe. Like, it's just so much to do with social media. And I have developed a formula for social media for myself, which I teach clients now, because I simplify it down to its most just basic form, because it's not the only thing of marketing you need to be doing. There's so many other pieces that need your attention and they just get ignored. And so my tip number three is definitely social media is not marketing, to remind people that it's a very small part of marketing and you can do it effectively without it taking over your entire life and your entire business.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that is so true. And well, you can get very good results from social media if you're doing the right thing or the right things, right? But the problem is that social media can be a rabbit hole. And before you know it, you're doing stuff, you're spending so much time in social media that is actually not marketing. You're just having fun or whatever. And there is a way to use these platforms for business and still be, you know, respecting your time. Now, recently, I actually did get a client from social media, but it wasn't from, you know, aimlessly scrolling through my feed. I have a very specific strategy that I follow and that I mentioned in a previous presentation, and it was a combination of using Facebook groups and friend lists. And another thing that I discovered right now is that you can open on your desktop, and not just on your mobile device, just Facebook Messenger. So you can be messaging people without having the rest of Facebook open. Because I was having a problem with one of my clients because her communication medium of choice was Facebook Messenger. So then I would need to have that open, and then I would see when, oh, someone commented on my whatever post, and then before I knew it, you know, I'd be distracted. So I was so glad when I discovered that, oh, I can just have Messenger open and not see anything else. So definitely, yeah, this is a good tip. Be careful of how much time you're spending in social media, even if you're saying that you're using it for marketing.
Yes, exactly. My fourth tip is stop listening to absolutely everyone, because you can have too many cooks in the kitchen. And that's what happens when you listen to this guru and you listen to that guru and then you listen to me and then you listen to you and then you've listened to 25 people on the same subject and they all have different opinions. So then you're confused about which is the right opinion and is there a consensus, and technically there's not really a consensus with a lot of things, especially when it comes to marketing and business and how you should do things and how you should approach things. And so my main thing is, you know, you need to pick two or three people that are maybe in your industry, maybe one person in your industry and two people not in your industry, or however it needs to work for you. But find the couple of people that you follow. Being in 50 different groups, and when people are in groups, they ask questions. And then I love answering those questions. But when you have 47 responses, how are you supposed to choose what's the correct response when you're asking that question as a business owner with a real legitimate question? And a lot of these things, whether it's a course or an absentee webinar or whatever it is, you're not getting your question answered for your business. You're getting a question answered for a business, not necessarily yours. I mean, do you need a landing page? Maybe you don't. Do you need e-commerce? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you should be using Etsy. Maybe you shouldn't be using Etsy. But you never will get the right answer unless you actually talk to someone one-on-one and you actually get them to tell you, you know, they know your story. They hear what's going on with you and they can say, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. You should be over here doing X, Y, and Z. And maybe someone else in your industry says, yeah, I agree with that. then you have a solid answer. It's almost like if you were to go on WebMD and put in, I have this symptom, and 57 people respond, and none of them are doctors. They're just telling you, well, this random thing worked for me. It's not always going to be the right answer when you really should just talk to one or two people that maybe had that same issue or that, you know, is a doctor, and they can tell you the right answer for you that maybe may not work for everybody else. So these absentee webinars a lot of times and these courses and stuff, I kind of get fed up when I see them being presented as the be-all, end-all, and they're just not. And, I mean, I have a course and I have absentee webinars too, but I don't necessarily present them as this is going to solve all your problems or this is the only answer. But really you should narrow down who you're listening to so that you can actually move forward on things instead of having too many choices to choose from and never knowing which is the right one.
Wow, another good tip, everyone. And I do have a mentor. What she says is to just choose one, which I find a little bit difficult. So I'm glad you said 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a strategy for making a decision when you have all of these, you know, when there's a product launch and you have 10 or dozens of marketers promoting the same thing and it's on, you know, like an early bird special discounted and it's so attractive and the bonuses are so great, and then someone else is launching their thing and it sounds good too, like this shiny object syndrome. Do you have a strategy for how do you make a decision when you're faced with something like that, an onslaught of all these great deals?
So I actually, and now you're talking about, I just want to clarify the question a little bit. You're talking about when you're deciding what to promote or what to buy into.
Yeah.
Okay. So usually when you see these things, you have a gut feeling. You have something that, you know, one of them is really connecting with you and the other may be sort of connecting with you. And I actually read the book 10-10-10 by Susie Welsh, and it is amazing. It's kind of how I've built my whole academy around a similar kind of concept. But it's 10-10-10. It's when you make a decision, and it's any kind of decision. It could be something as big as getting married, or it could be something as small as, you know, buying a course. And that would be to think about how it's going to affect your life in 3 tens. And that could be, how is this going to affect my life in, let's say it's a course, how is this going to affect my life in 10 days or 10 minutes or 10 hours? You pick a short-term effect. And maybe it's, okay, if I spend that $600 right now, how is that going to affect my life in 10 days? Am I going to be able to pay my rent, which is due in 9 days, you know, or whatever it is. So how is that going to affect you in 10 days? Then how is that going to affect you in 10 months or 10 weeks, pick a longer term. And, okay, am I going to do it? Am I going to actually do this course? Is it something I'm so jazzed about that I'm going to do it, and I'm going to set aside time in my calendar, and I'm going to block off the time right now as I'm purchasing it, not just purchasing it going, okay, I'll get to it later, I'll get to it on the weekend, whatever. Like, actually putting it in your calendar. Can I do this within the next 10 weeks, 10 days, whatever the short term, you know, the midterm is? And then how is this going to affect my life in 10 months, 10 years? And is this going to make my business better? Is this going to serve me in the way that I think it's going to? And am I going to commit to it in the way that I should to get what I need out of it? And so really taking that short-term, mid-term, and long-term approach to something is really going to help you decide what you're capable of at that moment, whether it's financially or commitment-wise, time-wise. And also, is it something I'm just like, oh, this is so cool, I should just try it? Or is it something I'm looking at going, I really struggle with this, or this could be really good for my business? And you know before you buy it, like, you already know that answer. And so that's your long term. Like, is this going to help me in 10 years? Is this going to matter in 10 years? Maybe it's a course on Facebook algorithms. Is that going to matter in a year? No, it's going to be totally different. Is it going to help you in the short term? Is it going to get, like, boost your ROI to a point where you're going to recover that money, do you think? Like, can you gauge that? Can you guess that? You have to get, you know, figure out what those pieces are So maybe the long term, it's not great for the long term, but in the short term, it could net you a lot. You know, it's going to really help you, but maybe it's not going to matter in a year. So deciding on that 10-10-10 option, that's usually how I make those kinds of decisions.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually read about that when I read the book Decisive. So anyways, which I highly recommend that book, by the way, very useful and practical. And you also reminded me of what Lynn Terry says when she buys a program, whether it's a $17 ebook or a $1,700 program, is she challenges herself to make her money back. So if she spent $17, maybe she'll say, how can I use this, what I learn from this ebook, to make back $17, mm-hmm. let's say in 24 hours. So she makes it a challenge. And I think when I read that, I was just blown away by like what a great idea that is. Because some of us, we really show up when we're challenged, right? And it also gives you something really concrete to do, other than just saving the thing in your hard drive, which is, to be honest, what most of us do.
Yeah. I have many an ebook in my hard drive that is, I'll read that later. And that's why I said, if you can't commit to reading it, doing it, going through the videos, whatever it is, in the next 10 days, 10 weeks, and putting the time in your calendar, like blocking it out, because if it's not in your calendar, you know it's not going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it is. And like you said, when you're challenged, a lot of entrepreneurs, when we're challenged, we do better. Like, it's just the way it is. And that's why we work so well under pressure. And a lot of people who don't succeed in business in general usually are not equipped to work under that kind of pressure. And not everybody is. But the entrepreneurs really do show up when they have someone telling them, I bet you can't do this. And it's like, well, I bet you I can, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And what I like to say, too, is that if you are going to make an investment in especially a training program, and, you know, it's expensive, is to be the best student, be like the success story of that program, be so good at implementing, carrying through, that the teacher or whoever put the program together takes notice of you. So that's another way to challenge yourself.
Absolutely. I love that. All right, I have my fifth one. It's my fifth tip. And it's kind of a two-part tip. And that is, there are two people you need to hire in your life if you're an entrepreneur. And one of them is a housekeeper. And one of them is a masseuse. These are two people in my life that... you know, growing up, my mother did not have these two people in her life. And so I didn't grow up like this. But as an adult and as an entrepreneur in a totally different realm and lifestyle and world than I grew up in, these are two people that I need. And there's a reason for that. There's a lot of people that love cleaning their house. It's like relaxing to them. More power to you. That's all you. But for me, and I think for a lot of people... cleaning your house is the last thing you want to spend your energy on. It's that one thing at the end of the weekend or the end of the beginning of the weekend, whatever it is, and you look at something and you go, wow, that's really dirty. I really should clean that. Or I really have to get to that. And that's something that, you know, I don't want to spend, for me, I have a very small house, but spending 2-3 hours doing that, I could be doing so many other things and making money. Like, actually making money. And so I hired a housekeeper, and yes, she does cost me 2 hours of my time a month as far as what I would need to make to pay her. Excuse me. And that's okay, because I know that those 2 hours that I work, maybe it's extra, maybe it's just, you know, normal 2 hours that I'm going to be normally working during that month. It's so well spent, because I can... at the end of the time when she leaves, I'm like, my house is clean. And I don't have that worry. I don't have that stress, because it does stress me out. Second one is the masseuse. And as entrepreneurs, we don't understand and realize we're doing our thing. Like, you know, we're selling our stuff. We're doing our social media, whatever it is we do. And we don't realize the stress that we put on our bodies every single day, even if we don't feel like we did anything. Sometimes I feel like I'll go through an entire day and feel like I didn't do anything today. Really, I did. I did a ton of stuff. But in my mind, like, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't leave a chair. Like, I might just sit in a chair all day and just, like, literally work the whole day. And, you know, I feel like I didn't do anything today, but my body is telling me my shoulders are so, you know, hunched up, and I'm, like, all tense, and my neck hurts, and my back is kind of like, you know. And just being an entrepreneur, just so much stress, you don't even realize during the day, I will have to literally remind myself, okay, drop your shoulders. Like, actually drop your shoulders. Like, remind myself to do that, because during the day, it goes like this. And you don't realize how much stress that puts on you. So once a month, I go to a masseuse for 2 hours. Yes, it's a little more expensive. It does cost me a little more money. Again, I'm spending an hour or two of my working time on that. Because it does give me that relief, so that I know that when I go back to my desk, when I go back to working, when I go back to clients, I am much more, I'm closer to 100% than if I never did that. Because it gives my body, like, time to relax and actually be unplugged, and I'm not looking at a screen, and I'm not, you know, typing up things, and I'm not worrying about what's on Facebook and how many questions I need to answer at groups and all that stuff. I'm just worried about relaxing all the muscles in my body and someone else knowing which muscles those are and helping me do that. So definitely those are my two things, housekeeper and masseuse.
And I hope I spelled masseuse correctly. And I think this relates to how important it is to take care of yourself, like physically mm-hmm. and mentally, emotionally, because, you know, as business owners, we tend to work too much, and then we think, you know, getting a massage or exercising, getting off our, you know, bums, and maybe doing yoga, it's a waste of time. I have so many other things to do. Mm-hmm. But in fact, you really can't give 100% to your business unless your body and your mind are taken care of.
The same thing goes for some days. And I know, you know, some people have kids and it's not always, you know, plausible to do this, but I don't have kids yet. So I sometimes get to do this, but I'll be sitting and working and I will just feel so tired all of a sudden. And it will be like so tired that I can't keep my eyes open type of tired. And it will be because I've been running for 5, 10, 12, 15, 20 days without really, you know, not necessarily a break. I mean, I have weekends and stuff, but not necessarily the kind of break I need, or maybe not getting enough sleep that I need. And so I will sometimes just say, you know what, this thing can wait 2 hours or an hour, and I'll go take a 20, 30 minute nap and give myself 20, 30 minutes after that to just watch a TV show or, you know, read a book or something else that needs to be done that just takes me out of the situation, because I can't really focus if I'm like half falling asleep. And so, you know, either getting enough sleep at night or taking that time and saying, okay, my body is saying I didn't get enough sleep, I need to just take a nap. Setting the timer and doing that is almost like if a client came to me and said, I need you to do XYZ, and it would be on my task list. Those kinds of things I have to insert into my day sometimes, whether it's the masseuse or letting, you know, being there for the housekeeper, or just taking a nap, you know, taking 15, 20 minute nap just to get myself back to, like you said, maybe not 100%, but almost, because you can't run on 20, 30% when you're trying to work on, you know, for clients and things like that.
Absolutely. You know, downtime, like we talked about tracking our use of time, and what I found when I did that was I like took no downtime. And then, because I was so conscious about what I was doing every hour, and then it dawned on me, like, wait, I'm not the Energizer Bunny. I don't run on batteries. Yeah. Like, I need downtime. But mm-hmm. you said the operative word, which was set a timer, meaning, you know, be conscious of, well, how much time are you spending recharging yourself? And is it really mm-hmm. recharging, or is it just wasting time, if you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there's a way of relaxing that doesn't actually recharge you, where it's just you're just wasting time and not even
and sometimes I'll even just take an hour for lunch. And sometimes the way I do that is I leave my phone away from me, different room, you know, maybe I leave it in the office and I'll go to the kitchen, you know, just separate myself from that kind of technology. But at the same time, you know, I like watching TV. I always have loved TV and movies and all that kind of stuff. And I will make my lunch. I will pop open Netflix and find the show that I've been, like, you know, tracking. And I will watch an hour-long episode of something because that's something I find really enjoyable. And it's, you know, a lot of people might say, well, that's not my thing, or that might be a waste of time for them. They might want to read a book, or they might want to go outside or something different. But for me, I just love watching movies. Like, that's one of my favorite things. So for me to get a middle-of-the-day break when I can make lunch at home, sit down on my couch with my dog, and just watch an episode of something, make myself laugh, you know, whatever, that's very relaxing for me, because then I feel like, okay, the episode is over. I'm ready to get back to whatever it is I was doing before I had lunch, you know, and it makes me kind of energized to do the next thing. So definitely find that thing that makes you, like you said, energizes you, not that just is like, well, I'll go to this other thing because, you know, there's nothing else, and, you know, I'll just kind of give myself time when it's not really doing anything for you.
Oh my gosh, I feel like, have you been watching me have my lunch breaks? You just described my lunch breaks, but I mentioned my how I discovered that I tend to multitask all the time, and that included during my lunch breaks was I would eat and watch, and after eating, I would start doing work when I was still supposed to be on my lunch break. And so now, now that my theme for myself is focus, I focus even on my downtime. Like, I say, okay, I'm giving myself, like, the thing I'm watching now, each episode is like 45 minutes. I'm giving myself 45 minutes of a break. And while I'm watching, I'm really just watching. I have to resist the urge to grab my laptop and do a little bit of email or look in my phone and do a little bit of social media marketing. I was like, this is my break. I am focusing on taking a break. So then afterwards, like, I switch it off. And as you said, like, I'm ready to go back to work. I'm more recharged than if I was like half and half doing things, right?
Absolutely. And I find that also when you come back from vacation, sometimes your vacation is too short for what you actually need. And maybe you've been gone a whole week. But I find usually if I go away for a long weekend, like 3 or 4 days, it's not long enough usually for my body and my brain and my mental capacity to completely recharge. Because it usually takes me a day or two to, like, get into that mindset and then a day or two to get out of that mindset. But I find that if I'm gone for an entire week or 5 days or a week, then when I come back, I might need a day to kind of like clear the haze, you know, and get back to, you know, normal routine and my home and that kind of thing. But typically that next day after that, I am like, okay, I need to work. I need to do something productive. I'm ready to go. But I usually find that for me, those 3 or 4 days is not long enough to really recharge. I need a full week, and then I can say, okay, 6 to 7 days, and then I'm ready to be back. Like, my brain is ready to switch to the other side. So it's definitely interesting, and definitely per person. Like, you have to figure out what your formula is.
Absolutely. I find actually, and because I have kids, that vacations can be more tiring than usual. And normally when we get back, I feel like I need a vacation to recover from this vacation.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are Elizabeth's top 5 tips. Can you summarize, like, run through the 5 things again, Elizabeth, for us and for those who are just joining us?
So the first one is to value your time. Eliminate unnecessary tasks. Social media is not marketing, meaning it's not the only marketing you should ever do. And to stop listening to absolutely everyone, because there's going to be too many voices, and hire a housekeeper and or a masseuse.
Awesome. Thank you for those top tips. I do have a couple more questions for you. Yes. First of all, who or what would you say has had the biggest impact on you in terms of how you approach business and this simplifying approach to life?
I think it has been a lot of seeing people get so overwhelmed. And it's not necessarily one person. It's more a collective group of people. I've been in my industry for a while, and when I see other people in my same industry come to me frantically saying, oh, and this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and I can look at it from the outside and go, but really this is the one thing you're actually talking about, or the one thing that you should be focusing on that you need to do in order to make anything happen. But they've got so much junk around it because they've either listened to too many people or they've researched too much, which can be a thing. And they've heard too many differing opinions that they really don't know what direction to go, when really all they started out to do was one simple task. So, you know, I think kind of seeing people just have that effect on, you know, themselves, having this kind of a problem over and over and over, has really led me to how can I help that person, even if it's just one person or two people that have this problem, you know, which I now am seeing it kind of repeated over and over and over. How can I help them realize that the things that they're overcomplicating or that they're hearing are so complicated aren't really that complicated? And so it's kind of been my goal and my mission to simplify it so that, you know, we only have so much energy, so much, I guess, individual energy packets, I would call them, to worry about certain things. And so when you're worrying about the things that don't really matter or that really aren't the problem or really aren't the task, you're really expending so much other energy that you really could be saving for something else that is important. And instead of doing one thing and worrying about the 20 things that are surrounding it, you could actually be doing 20 real important things. So I'm trying to kind of get people to realize that they only have so much energy and they're worrying about some things that maybe aren't as complicated as they think they are.
So if you were to compress in one sentence your message to the people you serve, what would that sentence be?
So it's kind of more of a phrase, I guess, and it would be to simplify your process, automate your business, and take back your life. And if you do those three things in that order, you will basically get to that third piece, which is you'll have the take back your life, you'll have the time you want, and the freedom you want as an entrepreneur. So that's really how I would sum it up.
Terrific. So my final question or set of questions for you, Elizabeth, mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about the Simplified Academy and how the people watching can work more closely with you?
Absolutely. So I started the academy 7 years ago, and it actually failed. So I put the idea on the shelf for a while and realized that I did not go about it the right way. And I decided about 6 to 9 months ago to restart it and see if it would be the right time, and it seems like it has been. And I, at the same time, I had read that Susie Welsh book that was the 10-10-10 book. So I had this idea of 10 in my mind. And I really gravitated towards that and realized that the attention span of a business owner is about 10 minutes. if you really want to teach something, you get about 10 minutes of their attention until they're kind of like, okay, I'm over this. I'm moving to the next thing. And so I decided that all the videos that I put into my academy would be 10 minutes long. But instead of sitting for 2 hours and watching a webinar on email marketing or on how to run a Facebook ad or whatever it was, I wanted the concept to be 10 minutes, only 10 minutes. Because instead of learning all these things for 2 hours, I wanted to break it down and say, let's just learn about one thing for 10 minutes. Like, how do you even set up email marketing? That's 10 minutes. And I go through it and I walk you through it step by step. How do you add people to your list? How do you get it into your website, the code into your website? How do you, let's say, how do you create a Facebook page? What should be on your Facebook page? All those things, all those questions that people have, taking one question at a time and just breaking it down to just 10 minutes. And that has really been a great formula for us to present topics and products and different websites and different options for people they may not have even known about when they're maybe have been buried in some two-hour seminar somewhere they may have watched or not watched. So I really try to break things down. And one of our best features about the Academy is if you're a member, you can actually request questions to be answered. So if you say, how do I do this one very specific thing? Or I'm really confused about this broader topic. Or I have a question about this topic, but no one's really answered it for me. And so I take those questions and we make 10-minute videos about them. And it's not just me. It's a whole host of entrepreneurs that I've actually coerced into doing 10-minute videos for me. and they've actually presented with their, you know, their expertise, because I don't know everything. I mean, and in all their videos that I've watched, I've learned something from them too. So it's been really, really fun for me to create this project and make it a reality for everyone.
So who would you, how would you describe the entrepreneur who's the best fit for the Simplified Academy?
So I was marketing to everyone and not taking my own advice, which, you know, you can't do. And I realized that my passion niche, and really who I've been creating for this whole time, I just didn't really realize it, is the web professional, the marketing professional, the branding person, people who are in the industry of marketing. And that could be anyone from a social media manager. I mean, literally anything that has to touch marketing. Videographers, I have a couple of those in our membership right now, which are they're awesome. And just people who are in that sphere. And also that does kind of on the edges include those diehard DIY people who are like, I have to learn this. I want to learn this. Even though my business has nothing to do with marketing, I want to learn it for myself. It's for them too. But mainly I'm focusing on people who are in the business of marketing and who have that as their job or want to have that as their job.
And so what do they get in the Simplified Academy aside from the 10-minute videos? And how many videos do you put out in a month?
So we put out 4 to 5 a month. And like I said, they're all requests. And we have a list of over 100 videos that we are currently working on. And there's about 30 to 40 different topics we have right now. So we have a lot in there right now currently. So you could literally go in and start watching videos and learn a bunch of stuff. But we're trying to fill in a lot of gaps, too, because I get questions every day. So I'm constantly creating new videos all the time. We release about 4 to 5 a month. There's also a ton of our products in there as far as ebooks and PDFs and workbooks and all these other kind of pieces that go with some of the videos as well. The other thing I offer in there is some exclusive discounts to members that are through our affiliate marketing partners of the different things that we talk about. So if I'm talking about email marketing, I'm talking about a specific email marketing system that we use because it's the most inexpensive and it's the most cost effective and it has the most features. So we really try and partner in that way. And also all of our speakers that come on to do videos, they have their own affiliate marketing that we bring in as well. And the reason I'm so big on affiliate marketing is because if you're going to tell somebody, oh, I just used this product, it was awesome, you kind of should be getting paid for that. And so I love to share people's affiliate marketing links with our members because it's part of business. It should be part of everyone's business who has a desire to share what they're using with their colleagues.
For sure. And that's pretty unusual for a membership site to allow something like that. So I'm just sharing on the screen here Elizabeth's website, which is simplified.academy, if you want to learn more about the Simplified Academy. Elizabeth, what are some of the results that your members have gotten? It's a pretty new membership, but have they told you about any results so far?
Yes, I've had several people come to us, and we're working on kind of gathering some of the reviews so we can share them with people who are visiting the website. We've had people come to us and say, I was so confused about email marketing before. That's one of our big topics, actually. And now they've been just creating their campaigns, and they got it. Like, once they watched a couple of our 10-minute videos, they actually understood what was happening with it, and they were able to kind of go forward from there on their own. Another one was someone was trying to do their own branding, and once they watched a couple of our videos on branding, they actually realized that they needed to hire a pro. And they wanted to hire a pro because they knew that they didn't have the insight they needed to actually do it themselves, which is what they wanted to do originally. And then another person was struggling with what do they choose for their website? Should they choose Squarespace or Wix or Weebly or whatever? And so we had a specific video on what should I choose for my website. And again, like I said, one size doesn't fit all for us. So we also create our videos to talk about the differences of why would you choose this or why would you choose that, not this is the best option for everyone. So even though we do have affiliate marketing in some areas, we also aren't going to just give favoritism just because someone is, you know, quote, not really sponsoring but kind of giving a kickback to us about it. We're going to tell you, this may not be the right thing for you. You may have to go over here and choose another product that we're not, you know, really promoting, but it may be the best for you. So we want to really make sure that people understand that just because we have affiliate marketing or whatnot, we're trying to be the best option for them. And so, like I said, when you're deciding between what kind of website should I have, Squarespace or WordPress or Weebly or Wix or whatever it is, we're going to tell you based on the knowledge about those products, and maybe one is better for you than another, but not just one size fits all.
Awesome. And I think our viewers can already see that the Simplified Academy costs $35 a month to join. But if you're watching this, Elizabeth has a very special offer for you. Do you want to tell them about it, Elizabeth?
Yes, actually, if you use the link that is below, you actually will get it for $30 a month. So it's definitely a little bit of a discount I wanted to give everyone that's watching this video.
Awesome. Well, that link is alexisrodrigo.com/simplified. So if you want to get the details about the Simplified Academy, go to simplified.academy. But do not sign up there. Go to alexisrodrigo.com/simplified if you want to get the $5 off per month. And that's a regular discount, right? For as long as they're members?
Yes. Wow. Yes, as long as they're members. Mm-hmm.
Very generous offer, Elizabeth. So let's go through the comments and see if we have any questions. Okay, let me just, oh my goodness, does that work? Okay, so this comment is from Rohi. I plan to start publishing a series of nonfiction books on Amazon KDP starting April 1 for the next few months. Everything else, such as blogging, etc., will be to promote my Kindle books. Eventually, I hope to offer ghostwriting and digital publishing as a paid service. Any suggestions? Rohi, what kind of suggestions are you asking for? Are you asking for suggestions to simplify your business or just to promote your books? Anyways,
what I have one thing about that. I would say that definitely keep them separate. So, yes, you may be a writer of nonfiction or fiction over here, but if you're going to offer the ghostwriting, et cetera, those should be two separate things because a lot of people, you're not going to have the same audience. So just make sure you know that you have two separate audiences there and that you want to keep those separate.
Unless, of course, this audience is the same because these are nonfiction books. So, Rohi, I'm not sure if
it really does depend. Yeah.
Yeah. If the nonfiction books you'll be writing are, you know, going to be appealing to your potential, your ideal ghostwriting clients, then you can make them like relate to each other.
There's a lot of questions there.
Oh, yeah. A lot. We don't know enough, I guess. Excuse me. So, We have a comment here from Angela Almos. Elizabeth has a wealth of wisdom. Yes, indeed. And that is why I decided to interview her. Okay, Rohi has a lot of, comments here. And he says, thanks, very helpful. I am glad you found that helpful. And Rohi has actually a question for both of us here. Oh, it's the same one. Okay. So we have addressed that. So does anyone else have any other questions before I let Elizabeth go? And this has been the longest interview ever. And I think it's because Elizabeth just shared so much good stuff with us. And I had a lot of follow-up questions for her. So any final words, Elizabeth, before I let you go?
I'm just so happy that I got to share my five tips with you and that they were helpful to the audience, because those are just some things that I really am passionate about, and I know that they've simplified a lot of things in my life, and I just love sharing those things with other people so that they can also have the same types of success in that area as I have.
Well, with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you for watching. Thank you, Elizabeth, for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate you all very much, and I hope to see you again next week. Remember, every Wednesday, 11 a.m., and same channel, same time, same channel. I will see you all, and if you have any more questions, just type them in the comments. I will get around to them. So I'll let you go, Elizabeth. Thanks again.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.